This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex, and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Usually we do Krusty's Corner right here. That's going to happen at 4:40 this afternoon. Get Brian's Cowboys Monday thoughts here coming up in 1 hour as our friend Dave Raymond from Rangers TV joins us now here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Good afternoon, Dave. How the heck are you?
I'm great. It's a day off, and we get incredible baseball. I know you guys have been busy with some football stuff and the weekly press conference and all, but we just wrapped up one incredible game.
We're watching it, Dave.
Oh,
that was incredible.
If you're Mets and Braves, did you have a handshake deal going into game one? And now as the Mets, you're thinking we're going to let the Braves win? Is that a thing?
We talked about this yesterday after our game when we were on the bus and making our way back home. Hey, it makes sense, right? Absolutely, you'd want to do that. Hey, let's just make sure we split this thing and we're both in and no hard feelings. But that's just it. They hate each other.
Yeah.
They have hard feelings. Those two teams, there's no way those two teams would enter an agreement like that. That'd be like the Rangers and the Astros doing that. And the Rangers would have an interest in winning and getting to the postseason, and that would be a strong interest of theirs.
Ooh.
But they might have a stronger interest in just keeping Houston out. I mean,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like sometimes those relationships are built that way, and I kind of feel like these two teams are there.
What if they had a deal and the Mets are about to crawfish on it? Wouldn't that be something?
I'm here for all awesome. The drama.
Baseball or balsa?
Yep.
This is awesome, Dev. This is a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to the Rangers getting back into the postseason run next year. I mean, this year obviously did not go the way that any of us wanted to. You had a front row seat for most of this. It felt just snake bitten with all the injuries. But as you reflect back on the 2024 Rangers, what are some of the things that stand out and then provides you optimism going into 2025?
Well, I think you're right. Zach, I mean, it never got off the ground, and it's hard to figure why. And as Boach just said the other day, he held out hope all the way till the day they were eliminated that they might just get hot, that lineup might just take off and it could happen. We've no doubt seen those types of things in the past in baseball. And so, you know, you're never really out of it until the math says you are, but, this year injury is obviously a big part of it. I think that the things that give you hope, and you try not to get too far into the weeds in September and trying to read too much into what you see in September, because it is just like spring training, and not just like, but you have to be very careful with it. At the same time, man, what we saw from Wyatt Langford from start to finish, just the progression from day one till the end of the season, was pretty amazing offensively, because it was a rough start and that could bury a young player, but he stayed with it and it really seems like he figured a lot of things out. If nothing else, the process of going through that is going to have great value for him over the rest of his career, because he faced some baseball demons there this summer. You know, that was pretty ugly for a while, and he found his way out of it. So I think that's huge. I think the way Nathaniel Lowe finished the year gives you a lot of optimism, because there were some pretty solid questions there for a minute as to what would the Rangers do about first base next year. And he helped alleviate that. I think you have to feel comfortable that Lowe is going to be okay. Again, when you look back at last year and the injuries and spring training caused him a late start, which got him behind the eight ball, and he started to do things that weren't helpful to his game, and next thing you know, he's midway through the season struggling. Well, he figured it out, and he got it back on track. So I think things like that give you optimism. And this is a weird one for me, But Adolis Garcia pulling up lame the other day at first base with the knee bothering him and not playing the final game of the season, in a weird way for me, gives me optimism. Because I could not figure out what was going on with him all year. It was the only way I can explain it is it was breaking my heart. Because he wasn't going after balls the way he used to. He wasn't firing back into the infield like he used to. And I thought, well, it's like the light just went out. What happened? And the reality is he was hurt. He was playing on a bum knee all year, the knee that caused him to miss the last couple of games of the World Series last year. And so now we all know it. It's hurt just a little bit more. He told me yesterday after the game he's getting it scanned today. And my hope is that there's a little something they can do, clean it out, maybe he'll feel better. Because if you can get Garcia back to old Adolis Garcia levels, and then like we're talking about with Lowe and Lankford and some others, you can see this offense getting back in gear. And I think the pitching has all kinds of upside to it based on what we saw at the end of the season.
What were some of the pros and cons year one working with Baskey?
Man, it's all pros. All pros. That guy, here's the only con is that he relies on me sometimes for things like, what time does the bus leave? little simple decisions that, quite frankly, I rely on everybody else for that. Like, I don't know. I don't know when the bus leaves. And I messed up so many of his days this summer where I know it's a 3 o'clock bus, Mike. I know. I'll see you down there. And then the two of us ding-dongs would be sitting on an empty bus for 30 minutes. Oh, guess it was a 3:30 bus, Mike. My bad. And so that's the only con is normally I've got somebody holding my hand and leading me around, but Mike's not going to be that guy, and I'm not a good one to do that for Mike.
Dave, I'm going to guarantee you that he didn't pay for one meal that you guys had. I'm just going to say you're going to be nice about this. I'm guaranteeing he didn't pay for one meal.
No,
Mike. Okay.
Well, how about this? He brought in his famous carrot cake.
Yeah.
A little bit after Easter, he taught me all about the concept of a dump cake. I'd never heard of that.
Oh,
but
fantastic.
He made one and brought in.
You can go on YouTube and get all that, Dave. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I suppose you're right. But that's his love language, man. He brings in sweets and treats for guys. But you know what, man? He's just fun. He's just fun. Yeah. He's enthusiastic. He's like a big puppy dog. And he's got a keen eye and a clever way of looking at things. And it was a really fresh perspective. I thoroughly enjoyed every night I spent with him there at the ballpark.
Dave, I'll give you a serious baseball question, I think, here. With all the injuries that, you know, that they had to deal with, but then we saw some of the pitchers, DeGrom and others, come back, Rocker, that had to give you a little bit of hope of what's going on with that staff, though, this year, right, or next year?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Much like the Wyatt Lankford situation, I think Jack Leiter, and it's not like Jack got to be up here from the start of the year till the end in the way Lankford did, but we got a taste of him really early in Detroit, and then he got some other opportunities. And each time we saw, he learned stuff. He and I talked about it several times, little things that he was learning along the way, and it's really valuable. His stuff clearly is as good as anybody's. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a guy who can throw 100 and he's got a good breaking ball. And so it's there. It's just a matter of him figuring out how to use it, and so that's something that's going to come. And even next year, there might be some bumps now and again, but I think we're going to see a lot of him, and I think he's going to be really good. And Lord knows what we saw from Rocker when he's got his primary two pitches working, that hard curveball and the fastball. Once and again, he's coming off Tommy John, trying to get some of the feel back for some of these things, but my expectation would be that will be back next year in full bloom. He's elite. I mean, that stuff is crazy good. And with his poise and just his personality there, I think he brings a lot. I mean, I was really struck at how unusual he seemed to be. He's so calm. And he walks in a room and he commands a room. I'm like, well, this is the young guy on the team. Even some of the veterans said at one point, they're like, hey, why are we all so intimidated by him? And so then they started to tease him a little bit and come up with some nicknames and this sort of stuff. But like, even the veterans held him in a certain esteem when he'd walk in a room. And I just think that's brilliant. You're talking about a guy who's a real alpha male out there on the mound. So that's exciting. I think they're going to work really hard to get Eovaldi back, and he'll be huge. Obviously, DeGrom's going to be a big deal. And the sleeper in all this, the guy who continues to slide under everybody's radar and maybe the best of all of them, is Cody Bradford.
Absolutely.
Man, that guy is smooth. I really love watching him pitch. So I think there's a ton of optimism on that rotation.
The last thing I wanted to ask you about, Dave, since you have a unique perspective on it, but that last series in Oakland, and as you've now had some time to reflect, your thoughts on how that all went down.
Yeah, it's still a source of some sadness and frustration. 9,000 games in Oakland A's history, and that's gone. It'll remain in record books, and it'll remain in a lot of memories in that Bay Area, but I don't think people appreciated how important a franchise the Oakland A's are. I mean, they've had so much great history, given us so many colorful characters, and been a part of postseasons, and that run they had in the 70s, and none of us were, really cogent baseball fans at that time, 72, 73, 74. I was just a wee little fella in diapers, But that's one of the great dynasties of all time. Only the Yankees can claim to have won at least three straight World Series. No other team's ever done that. To me, the sadness is that you're talking about a trust, right? You're talking about, it's not a business that just, it happens to be in a city. It's a thing that's a part of a city. It's a place where people go to share and experience things together. And it just seems so wrong to take that out of a city like that unnecessarily. There are times when you have to do stuff like that. This was unnecessary in my mind. There are a lot of people at fault in this, but at the end of the day, it did not have to happen. That's just the fact of the matter. It didn't have to happen like this. And it's heartbreaking.
Just another way the European model of relegation and promotion is better, because if your team goes bad, you just get demoted. You don't have to leave. You know what I'm talking about.
Listen, Gavin, I'm with you on that. And there was a guy from I don't know if he was from London or where he was from. He was writing for the New York Times, but he came out and he was baffled by this. Yeah. So here he is from the New York Times, going around these clubhouses asking these questions. Like, this doesn't happen where I'm from. I don't understand what's wrong with your culture that you'll let a billionaire take these things from cities. It's just not right. Yes. And it isn't.
Appreciate you so much, Dave. Have a great winter, and we'll catch up with you real soon. Talk some Rangers baseball.
Right on. Thanks, guys.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex, and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.